Welcome to this week's edition of Outdoors Online, a weekly webcast produced by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. I'm your host, Mike Anderson. My guest this week is Dr. Dan Grove, wildlife veterinarian here at the Game and Fish Department. Today we're going to talk about some of the diseases that affect our deer population, such as chronic wasting disease, EHD. Dan, let's start out with EHD. What is it?
EHD is one of a couple of different viruses that can cause similar symptoms in animals. It's in the hemorrhagic disease group. It stands for epizootic hemorrhagic disease. There's another virus that other people might have heard about. It's called blue tongue virus. And those two diseases, they look exactly the same clinically. Basically, the animals come down with a fever. They become really lethargic. A lot of times you'll find them near water because they are running a fever. And ultimately in North Dakota, we see a lot of deaths if the animals actually do become infected from it. There's not much recovery from the disease.
How does it spread from one animal to another?
There's little biting flies, little no-see-ums and things. They're called midges. The fly has to bite an animal that's infected, and then it can transfer it to another infected animal. They don't get it from direct contact or anything like that. So if the midge isn't present, then the disease won't continue to cycle.
Sure. Is this something that we see occurring every year in North Dakota?
We've started seeing it more frequently. We've not actually seen a big outbreak since about 2013. Okay. And so it used to be about every 4 to 7 years, but we are starting to see it about every 2 to 3 years at this point in time. So.
Okay, have we had any reports this year yet?
Yeah, this year we've started getting a little more and more reports kind of in the southwestern portion of the state, which is our traditional area for it, south and west of the Missouri River. Specifically this year, it's primarily south and west of the river and then south of the interstate.
How severe is it, Dan, once it gets into an area?
If the life cycle is right for the midge and they keep being able to reproduce, there is the potential that you could lose a substantial number of deer in a given area, especially this time of year where bucks are starting to, you know, they're still kind of in their bachelor groups and things right before rut. When you've got a lot of deer congregating in an area, then you might have more potential spread of the disease. What we really need to kind of end the cycle of the midge is actually a good hard frost and a good freeze, and that will actually kill off the midge, and then it'll kind of stop the cycle for the year.
Is there anything else we can do to prevent that from happening?
There's not much, because you're talking about environmental, basically, issues that you can't really control.
Okay. People deer hunting this year, is there any worry if they harvest a EHD animal?
EHD isn't contagious to people. What it might actually affect is if the animal is running a fever, it might affect the flavor of the meat. It also means that the animal is going to be a little bit hotter when you harvest it. And so if it's warmer temperatures outside, that animal might, you know, turn faster than it normally would. And so you just need to be aware of that if you're out hunting, that if an animal looks kind of sick, you might not want to take that animal.
Dan, tell us about chronic wasting disease. We monitor chronic wasting disease for probably 10 years or more now. What is it and where was it found in North Dakota?
Chronic wasting disease is basically a prion, which is an abnormal protein that can get into an animal and basically reproduce within that animal. It's not like a virus or a bacteria, it's just strictly a protein. It's similar to mad cow. A lot of people have heard of that, bovine spongiform encephalopathy. But it's strictly in the cervid family. And so our moose, elk, mule deer, and white-tailed deer could all potentially be affected. We first found CWD in hunting unit 3F2, which is kind of south central portion of the state. It's down, it encompasses most of Grant and Sioux counties, and then a little bit of Hettinger County and Morton County also. The disease itself basically is a terminal disease once the animal gets it. It could take anywhere from 10 months to 3 years for the animal to actually die from it. It's very persistent in the environment. We've got regulations in place to try and prevent the disease from spreading outside of 3F2. There's carcass restrictions and things like that.
Every year during the deer season, we monitor the CWD. How do we go about doing that?
So we have a voluntary drop-off system. Basically, we're asking hunters to provide us with their heads because we actually take lymph nodes out of the head and use that for testing for CWD. And so there will be about 7 or 8 places strictly just in the 3F2 area that hunters can actually take and drop off their heads for us. If they have trophy bucks, they can actually bring them directly to one of our district offices and we can sample them and get them back to them. The other option is we're in the central portion of the state actually doing our surveillance this year in addition to the area around 3F2. If they happen to live in that area, they could drop it off at another drop-off location in that area also. We do our surveillance one-third of the state every year so that every 3 years we get the whole state sampled. And it just so happens this year we're in the central third and next year we'll actually be in the western third. So we're willing to test anything that we get, and actually we don't just strictly test the units we're looking at in a given year. We just only have enough resources to necessarily test one-third of the state in terms of being able to have enough staff to get out and actually have enough drop-off points and things like that. So if somebody that's not hunting in one of the units that we're doing surveillance once they're animal tested, they can either get it to a district office or just get it to any of those other drop-off locations that we actively have set up in a given year. And so we actually test everything we get that's able to be tested. It just has to be properly marked. So we either need the original hunting tag that's in for a doe would be in the ear. If a buck, you need to remove the antlers because you want to keep your trophy. At the different drop-off locations, we actually have tags that you can fill out, and those need to go in the ear. So if we don't know where the animal came from, we can't actually sample that animal, because then if we get a positive, we don't really know who harvested it, and we can't find out where it actually came from so that we have a better idea. So we just need to make sure that they're properly ID'd if they're from wherever in the state that they're from.
How about if you're going out of state hunting? Do we have restrictions on that?
Yes, there are restrictions in place, similar to being able to take carcasses and pieces and parts of animals out of 3F2. The same restrictions are in place for bringing animals back from states that have chronic wasting disease in the wild or in captive populations in various states.
What are the long-term effects of something like chronic wasting disease in our deer population?
Well, so far we have a lower prevalence in other states, but what people are starting to find through research in areas like Wyoming and Wisconsin that have had the disease for a long time, they're actually starting to see population declines, and the populations aren't necessarily going to be able to recover from the disease. There's also been a shift in the age structure so that there's no longer those 5 and 6 year old and 7 year old buck classes. It's actually the age structure shifted to it's more 3 and 4 year olds because the animals, frankly, are just dying of the disease before they actually are able to mature. And so areas with high prevalence, you know, it actually is starting to cause some serious issues with population growth and maintaining a healthy population, which is why we want to emphasize, you know, the testing each year. And we're also trying to increase the number of animals that are harvested to decrease the number of interactions that potentially in the area that we actually do have CWD, because we really just don't want it spreading outside of there. And that's why the restrictions that we have in place are there, is because this disease gets into another population within the state, we could actually start seeing some serious declines.
So it's very important that hunters give us their samples for CWD testing.
Yes, it is. We can't emphasize it enough, basically, how important it is to be able to get the testing. And it's completely voluntary. But it is a rather important disease. We're not just looking out for the populations next year. We're looking out for populations 20 years from now.
Okay. People have questions. Who can they contact?
They can contact us here at Game and Fish, or they can visit the website. All of our regulations, our CWD proclamation is up on the website. Our drop-off locations are on the website also, as well as a map of where we're actually doing surveillance. And then there's also feeding and baiting restriction in place for 3F2 and the surrounding units. And there's a map that shows that also.
Thanks for joining me today, Dan.
Thank you.
As Dr. Grove just mentioned, they'll be focusing their CWD monitoring efforts in the central part of North Dakota this year. If you're looking for a place to drop off your deer head, you can find a complete list on the Game and Fish website at gf.nd.gov. For Dr. Dan Grove and the rest of the staff here at the Game and Fish Department, thanks for joining us this week for Outdoors Online. We'll see you again next week.